What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going. It's B&E on the Horn, show of the people. Off we go. Buck off Thursday today. That is right. Tradition unlike any other here on the show. Who has earned a pat on the back? Who has earned a kick in the hindquarters? You decide each and every Thursday. Hit us on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Most expeditious way to get those buck-offs and buck-ons to us. You can also hit us up on social media, Twitter accounts, and whatnot. And it's going to be a fun Thursday. We are jam-packed with top stories and buck-ons and buck-offs, no doubt about it. We have a lot to do and a lot to get to. There's a big-time story developing in college football. Got the Longhorn quarterback battle, obviously, to get into. There's some developments on that, but also a major college football story to get to. We've got big-time baseball last night. We've got golf with the chase for the FedEx Cup and Tiger Woods' presence in Wilmington, Delaware. Just a ton to talk about, plus the NFL and training camps are ramping up, and we are thrilled to have in the building this morning. Bucky Godbolt has taken a couple more days off. He's got some medical procedures to take care of today and tomorrow, and we wish him a buck on and get him right back in here for football season next week. But look who is here. He is one of the anchors of our Saturday morning live and local lineup here on the Horn. He is a local realtor here in town. He is going to be the mayor of Austin one day, we like to say. He is our friend Johnny Rogers. JR, how are you?
Good morning.
How are you, man? Thanks for being up early.
Yeah, it's a little bit earlier of a wake-up call than most days.
But yeah, you got to work your own schedule there.
No doubt. But it's still a beautiful day in the capital city, and here we are.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, and I appreciate you being here. Yeah, Buck will be back on Monday. He's taking care of some medical business that he's got to do today and tomorrow, so we will take the reins and run the shop, and we have a lot to talk about. For folks who don't know Johnny Rogers, Johnny, you've been in Austin your whole life, or most of your life. You got here as a kid and went to Westlake, won a state high school championship alongside Drew Brees back in the day. You also
Westlake's first state championship.
And I always like to say you're the realtor brother, but your two other brothers are coaches in the National Football League. And two high-level places. Your brother Jeff is at the Arizona Cardinals.
Correct.
We've got a lot to talk about in that regard with the Cliff Kingsbury-Kyler Murray saga of the offseason. Plus, you just informed me that the Cardinals will be the in-season team for Hard Knocks this year. The HBO show, you know, the Detroit Lions are going right now. I saw episode two last night with Dan Campbell and the Lions. It's great. Great television. And but you just told me that your brother's team will be the in-season Hard Knocks.
Yeah, so last year, the Indianapolis Colts, they did the in-season where they kind of pick it up about halfway through and they kind of showcase that last portion of the season in the Hard Knocks format, which if you're not watching Hard Knocks...
They do such a good job.
It's absolutely incredible. It is. Hard Knocks is so good, they make Detroit look interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing last night watching that show, going, "Golly!"
And
I
now,
care about that. I'm becoming Isaiah Collier is our great producer. He's through the glass. Isaiah, how are you this morning? We got Westlake versus Bowie this morning.
Yeah.
A little South Austin, East Austin, or West Austin battle.
Leave those dogs in.
Yo, my guy Johnny Rogers, he was at Westlake during the era with Drew Brees, so he gets a slide with me. He's my guy.
And we don't forget about our basketball team back then.
Chris Mim, Luke Axtell,
Cole Broadhead. It was on now.
Westlake's
giving my dad nightmares.
Aubrey Marcus on that team as well.
Westlake not just so good now, going for a fourth straight state football championship this year. We'll talk about that coming up. But yeah, I was watching that Hard Knocks last night, thinking, okay, you got a fantasy draft coming up later. Don't start taking Lions. Don't start taking I do like DeAndre Swift, their young running back. I mean, that's one who helped me last year. Pretty good player. But
you always know the guys in your fantasy draft that really watch Hard Knocks.
Because they start gobbling up.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Amon Ross St. Brown. Now, that might be one.
Equanimeous St. Brown goes number two?
Yeah, what? All of a sudden, Amon Ross comes on off the board. That was a cool storyline, too, with his father and Mr. Universe and all that stuff last time. Hard Knocks. But we'll talk more about it. Did you see episode two yet?
I watched it.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Good.
To your point, JR, they make good television. If you love football, if you love the behind-the-scenes, behind-the-curtain kind of stuff, and Dan Campbell... Man, that guy's just infectious. That guy, you can see why he is a player's coach, and he'll go.
Yeah, boys.
Well, let's go.
I mean, he's an old school football coach.
I know it's a different thing, right? I mean, your brother and your other brother is coaching with the L.A. Chargers,
correct?
And you totally different kind of coach in the young Brandon McCarthy, 39 years old, making his way there with the Chargers.
Yeah,
I mean that's you got Dan Campbell his way, and then Brandon McCarthy.
Brandon Staley.
Staley, I should say.
Yeah, Brandon Staley. Staley and Cliff Kingsbury, both brother staff head coaches, are young guys, right? And you're starting to see a lot of that trend. The Sean McVays, the Josh McDaniels going over to L.A. There's so many McDaniels now in the NFL. I don't know where
Mike McDaniels in Miami, right?
Yeah, Mike McDaniels in Miami. Josh McDaniels
Vegas.
With the Vegas and all that. So, but then you look at Dan Campbell, and he's a throwback to that old school. You know, hey, you know. 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I mean, if it were up to him, it would just be run play after run play, you know, people just hitting each other.
Yeah, we talked in episode one, they were going full pads hard on the first practice of training camp. Like, we're in. And he's, he is old school. He went to A&M, and he is Bill Parcells would be one of his top mentors.
Sure.
So there's kind of a Parcells, Sean Payton direction there. So we'll talk plenty of NFL, obviously, and you'll bring some insights from the Arizona and we both agree the L.A. Chargers are a team to be reckoned with in 20 and 22. So Johnny will be here. Let's say good morning to the men and women of Fort Hood, Texas, because Bucky's not here to do it. We appreciate them, obviously, each and every day. All our military installations throughout the nation, throughout the world, that do what they do so we can do what we do. Also, our first responders. And let me start with the best buck off of the day, Johnny Rogers. There'll be a lot of good buck-ons today.
Yeah.
But the best buck-on, I should say, the best buck-on of the morning is today. It's going to rain today.
Yes!
It's going to rain today.
All right.
After, yesterday was Austin's 66th day of 100-degree heat. And when we do the show every morning, it just becomes redundant. Get ready for triple digits. Here we go. No rain in the forecast. Well, that is not the case today. So it's going to be nice, and we'll probably reach 100
allegedly,
today.
Allegedly.
But then here comes the rain today and tomorrow. Most importantly, you could get some heavy rain today and tomorrow, and then kind of dissipates into the weekend. But then next week, looks like there's rain in the forecast every day next week. We could finally get that prolonged week of soaking rain that we've been looking for.
Need it.
Your yard has been looking for. The golf courses out there have been looking for. All of us have been with the fire danger and everything going on. So that is a good piece of news. Excited about that. Let's get to the other headlines. We'll talk plenty of football with Johnny Rogers. This is an emerging story in college football, which is a big one. It's one we've foreshadowed coming, and it's now apparently on the conversation table. But first, let's get you caught up with the top news of the morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. We'll start with the Longhorns. Texas football, all off day yesterday for Texas, ahead of a full practice today, and then tomorrow, and then another important scrimmage coming up on Saturday for the team. Now, the team did hear from a special guest yesterday, the international best-selling author and speaker, John Gordon, was on campus, on hand, to talk to the team about leadership, culture, and teamwork. Of course, those are his specialties. Texas quarterback competition between Quinn Ewers and Hudson Card, one of the major storylines of camp, and it does sound like a decision could be coming soon. In an interview with ESPN this week, head coach Steve Sarkisian said that he, quote, has an idea of who the Longhorn starter will be. He didn't want to name the winner of that competition just yet, but added he hopes to tell all the players soon. So we'll keep you posted on that. Baseball last night. Yesterday, we told you about the first place New York Mets calling up their top overall prospect, Brett Beatty, to the big leagues. Well, it didn't take the former Lake Travis Cavalier long to make an impact.
Gets a breaking ball and hits it out to Ryan. Acuna goes back to the warning track, looks up, and it's out of here! How about that? Brett Beatty hits a two-run homer in his first major league at-bat. Second pitch he sees, and Beatty hits it out of the yard. A moment to remember for Brett Beatty and his family. A two-run homer, and it's 4-0 New York.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Meat. Pretty darn good right there. A two-run dinger in his first AB. Came off of former Astro Jake Odorizzi in the first inning. Mets go on to win that ballgame 9-7. Also last night, Houston Astros got back in the win column after blowing late leads on back-to-back nights in Chicago against the White Sox. Framber Valdez, seven solid innings. Yordan Alvarez drove in a run and scored one. Astros win it 3-2. Texas Rangers lost to Oakland 7-2. And ahead of that game in Arlington last night, another major move by the Rangers. The 2 days after they fired the manager, Chris Woodward, team owner Ray Davies announced the firing of longtime team president John Daniels, ending his 17-year run atop that organization. The last 6 years have been losing seasons. Current GM Chris Young will take over all aspects of the team's baseball ops. In Round Rock last night, Express fell to El Paso 7-5. Same two again tonight on a Bud Light Thirsty Thursday at Dell Diamond. Full NBA schedule released yesterday, and it's official. To celebrate the franchise's 50th anniversary, the San Antonio Spurs are hosting four special games this upcoming season. Two of them will be right here in Austin at the Moody Center on UT campus. Special games also include a game in Mexico City and at the Alamo Dome, but the two games in the capital city right here will be the final two games of the regular season. Moody Center will play host to the Spurs and Portland Trail Blazers on April the 6th. Minnesota Timberwolves in town 2 days later on April the 8th. Also from the NBA, LA Lakers and LeBron James have agreed to a two-year, $97 million contract extension. Does include a player option for the 2024-25 season.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Somebody bucked me off for jinxing the rain. Now, if I jinx this rain, then I don't have that power. Don't give me that much credit. I do not have that. But it really looks like the systems are lining up for a good stretch of rain. And dare I say, next week, in addition to the wet stuff, Johnny Rogers, temperatures in the low 90s, maybe upper 80s a couple of days next week.
Now we're talking.
Now, sign me up. Cooking with grease.
And there's always there is a rain dome that just sits over downtown Austin.
where you live.
Yeah, where I live. And you can see rain off in the distance, you know, south and north and everywhere else. But there's a rain dome that sits over downtown Austin. So I'll be anxious to see if we got some water in Shoal Creek.
Yeah, well, not this morning, but this afternoon and this evening. They're expecting the wet stuff to roll in and then again tomorrow. But then, boy, next week. Looks like it clears out pretty good for your weekend, but looking forward to that, and looking forward to Johnny Rogers this morning. JR is here, Isaiah Collier is here, and what can you say? You know, we mentioned you played at Westlake, and your dad was, you know, for people that don't know, a lot of new listeners and whatnot, Johnny, your father and Randy Rogers and Bucky were on the coaching staff together at Texas back in the 90s, so while your dad was coaching with John Makovic and the Longhorns, you were playing at Westlake. And it's cool to see, you know, you're good friends with Drew Brees, who went on to great success and Hall of Fame level success in the NFL. Really neat to see Brett Beatty last night for the former Lake Travis Cavalier first at bat. We talked yesterday that's a big deal, right? Coming up, not just to play out the string. He's coming up in the middle of a pennant race where the Braves are trying to chase down the Mets in the NL East, and they were looking for some punch in their lineup, and they bring him up and hits a home run in his first at bat. His father is the basketball coach at Lake Travis, and he was there. His mom, his whole family's there.
That's awesome.
And also saw a video, which we'll play some of later and maybe in our Flex segment, but the current Lake Travis baseball team gathered last night to watch, and of course they jump up and down and freak out when one of their alumnus goes deep in his first at bat. That was really cool. And I know last night at 7, it happened just after 7 o'clock last night, local time, and the Flex show was on with Snoop and the team, and they were all over that because of course our Flex is our high school football brand here with the Horn and the Austin Radio Network, and that's really cool. And you can speak to that as someone who watched a good friend of yours who you grew up with go off to great major league success.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because here's your good buddy, and he is on television, and he's, you know, at least with Drew, you know, we knew he was a good player. We didn't know to what extent. And I think that's what's kind of cool for these kids is they're like, you know, you kind of identify with that person that went to the league, right? It's like, oh, man, that's our guy. Now, all those kids out in Lake Travis, they're going to be able to follow, you know, that guy through his career. And it really kind of makes it a little bit more of an intimate experience, right? Like, I wasn't really I was more of a college football fan as a kid growing up. And then when you have friends and then actually family that get into the NFL, it draws you more into the league as well.
No question.
So what a cool experience for all those Lake Travis kids that for the next, you know, 10, 15 years, hey, that's our guy. We're going to be able to follow this guy for the rest of his career. And it's really cool.
Yeah. Well, because we all grew up with that. Man, this guy's going to make it. This guy's going to be great. And then you know, how, I mean, it's 1%. I mean, it's a 1% thing. And even if you get there, it's one thing. Or to get to the minor leagues is an achievement and play professional baseball. But, man, for someone like Drew to play Hall of Fame football, because you're one of those that's watching him in high school going, I think he's really good. I think he's really good. You just never know, right?
He was really good. Yeah, I mean, we won our – Westlake won our very first ever state championship.
Yeah, he was really good. But, again, how many guys who were really good in high school don't – I mean, Hall of Fame. The guy, he's going straight to Canton, Ohio.
Uncle Rico.
That's pretty awesome. He is Johnny Rogers. Zay, how about this? Somebody sent me a picture yesterday of Brett Beatty and Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, of course, the 10th pick of the draft to the Jets. Both grew up in the Lake Travis area. A picture of those two playing Pop Warner football. Well, they have to be like 12 years old. A picture of those two together.
Awesome.
And now they're both in New York City, both young stars and emerging. We'll see Garrett in his first year with the Jets out of Ohio State. Brett hits a home run. Have you seen that picture circulating?
Yeah, I have seen that picture. Those guys, both incredible athletes. You know, people don't understand that playing multiple sports in high school could be beneficial.
Yeah, no
question. You know, everybody wants to focus on one sport and that's it. But a lot of guys that are playing professional sports played multiple sports in high school, and I think it gives them the advantage. You look at Brett, who was a really good basketball player. Like his pop's a coach. Brett could hoop.
Yeah.
He could really hoop. And Garrett Wilson, he could hoop also. So those guys were both stars in their own right. One goes on to play in the show. The other playing the National Football League. Yeah, Lake Travis representing.
And that's is there any truth that they're going to try to turn the Hudson River into the new Devil's Cove?
Let's do it.
Okay.
They can land airplanes in there.
Yeah.
So airliners, Sully. No, that was cool last night. And they went on to win that ball game. Had to hold it off 9-7. So we've got some baseball to get to. Astros get a nice win. Rangers, major shakeup. The ownership group, not happy with the direction of the Texas Rangers. That's pretty clear. You wonder if that was one of those things that, you know, John Daniels got to make the decision on Chris Woodward, and then a couple days later, the owner says, you know what? He's not the only He's not the only problem we got here. And I know there's a lot of Ranger fans out there who thought they wouldn't see the day that John Daniels. I mean, he's been the architect. He led them to the World Series and built the teams that nearly got a championship. Nelson Cruz, catch that ball. Catch that ball back in the day, 2011, I believe that was. But John Daniels, 17 years, since 05, you know, since Vince Young ran across the goal line in the national championship, John Daniels, who took over at 28 years old, has been in charge of that organization, and he is now out after 17 years. And
probably time.
Chris Young will take over. Remember Chris Young out of Princeton, big tall kid, the big tall guy, who is now in charge of everything there in Arlington. And the owner, Ray Davies, didn't mince any words with that conversation, too. He said, we stink, essentially. He said, bottom line is we're not good, and we haven't been good for 6 years.
Yep.
To be competitive going forward, I felt that a change needed to be made. Look, they have a new stadium. They just invested huge dollars into Seager and Semien and off-season free agent acquisitions, and they're still 20-plus games back of the Astros. And don't think that the Astros being as good as they are doesn't impact in the Lone Star State, because the Stros just continue to cook, and they are in chase mode for sure, not just in their division, but in the whole state of Texas. All right, so Johnny Rogers is here. Let me mention this, because coming up bottom of the hour after our first time out, we're going to dive into our Horn Top 20 countdown. We are at number 7. And we're going just about 100 miles north to Waco, Texas. We will focus on the Baylor Bears this morning. But here's the college football story I wanted to get to, and we'll put this on the table early. It's a big one, and it's something we told you was coming. So yes, on Monday, the 11 college presidents and chancellors who make up the College Football Playoff Board of Managers. So what is who makes up the College Football Playoff Board when they pick the – and, you know, who's in charge of all of that? Who's in charge of college football? You could essentially say these people, the 11 college football presidents and chancellors who make up that board, met via Zoom on Monday, and according to Pete Thamel of ESPN, began the discussion of how to reshape the future of college sports and college football most particularly. This is the idea of taking college football at the Division I level, at the top level, the Power Five, and separating and taking it and taking control away from the NCAA, letting the NCAA continue to run everything else because there's a lot of sports and a lot of athletes that need governed, but college football going a different direction, and they would have to set up their own governance and who is in charge. And look, Johnny, everybody's looking for guardrails on name, image, and likeness, transfer portals, rules, recruiting, all of it. There's no one governing that right now. It is just
lawless,
and it is the Wild Wild West. and someone needs to take over. The NCAA is not going to do it. So according to Pete Thamel, the Board of Managers briefly discussed the possibility of restructuring how college football is governed, with the idea presented to the major college football potentially being governed by an entity outside of the NCAA.
Yeah.
What that looks like is not certain, but and as we said, if you just say college football, there are 1,000 schools that play college football at the varying levels, from all the way from non-scholarship, you know, Division III, as we used to call it.
Mary Harden Baylor.
Oh, yeah, all the way down.
Yeah.
All the way up to, you know, the top in Alabama.
Yeah.
And they're all governed at this point by the NCAA. They all allegedly play by the same rule book, which anyone looks at that and says, really? That doesn't seem to make sense. We're playing a different ballgame up here than they are down there. Why do we have the same rule book instead of rules? We need something different. And I think with the major changes, obviously the Supreme Court ruling of a couple of years ago, the 9-0 vote against the, you know, they're antitrust and
correct.
You can't do this. So the NCAA has no leg to stand on when it comes to governing at this point in that realm. And the discussions have begun at the highest levels of college football to change it.
Good. It needs to be changed. I mean, we've saw the old system is broken, and now we come into the day of NIL. And to me, what the biggest thing that moving forward with college sports is, you've got, you know, 114 Division I schools right now, and they vary dramatically in regards to enrollment, right?
Yes.
So why is that important? Well, that's important because you got to look at alumni and support and donor base of these schools. TCU has 80,000 living alumni, whereas the University of Texas has, I mean, I don't know how many, over a million living alumni right now. So you look at alums that can support your program, give money towards the NIL stuff. Can a school like TCU, can a school like Baylor, okay, Vandy, those smaller schools in big conferences, can they still compete with the Texases, with the A&Ms, with the Alabamas, who have an almost unlimited budget when it comes to this sport? So how does that work out? How can we make it fair for all those Division I schools? Or are we at the point now where we're saying we're not going to make it fair?
Yeah, well, and it's never been fair, but, you know, is there an entity that can make it fairer? I mean, as fair as possible, because you're right, and TCU is your alma mater, so you speak for the smaller schools at some levels that don't have that alumni base and, you know, don't have those deep pockets and resources. We've heard that from, you know, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. Like,
right.
Come on, we can't. Where are we going here? And even Alabama, who's dominated college football, and Auburn, they can look at that and say, wait a second, we don't have the coffers like they have down there in Austin at Texas
right.
A&M. So there has to be a structure. According to the Pete Thamel piece, which is out today from ESPN, he says the most logical place for the sport to be run outside of the NCAA would be under the auspices of the CFP, which is the College Football Playoff Board. Just the same people that run the college football playoff and essentially run college football in its postseason, take control and build the governance in place. And everyone have to, all, you know, the Power Five schools and conferences have to agree to it. This is the police. This
right.
is the rule. This is the law of the land. We're all going to agree to it. And then it would be up to that governing body to dole out punishment when the rules aren't followed, to come up with a code, to come up with a rule book, and those kind of things. But those conversations are being had. I think it's something that they're at the very, very early stages, obviously. But it's something to keep an eye on in college football, the College Football Playoff Board discussing that possibility. So we'll talk about that. Talk plenty of NFL. Johnny Rogers, you two brothers who coach in the National Football League. So you'll get some keen insights this morning.
I'm paying attention, E.
And you're paying attention.
Yeah.
And on the LA Chargers and the Arizona Cardinals. We'll get into that coming up. We're excited about having you here today and tomorrow. Also, Isaiah Collier is here. We'll talk about that LeBron James new contract in the NBA. Spurs coming to the Capital City year, which is pretty cool. We'll also get an update on what's going on in the city of Austin, Johnny, because you have your fingers on the pulse of this city. And there's a lot happening. Safe to say the development not slowing down.
No.
In downtown Austin. I want to get you a story on that.
A lot of cranes.
But coming up, we're going to talk to our buddy Ari Temkin from SiriusXM's Big 12 Radio. Ari's got a show this morning, but he's going to come on with us and preview our number 7 team in our countdown. His thoughts on the Baylor Bears, defending Big 12 champions, and some think they might be better this year than they were a year ago. We'll talk to Ari about that. New quarterback in Waco, Dave Aranda, year 3. We'll hit it coming back, plus all the top stories on a busy Thursday. Buck-ons and buck-offs here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Thursday, Buck on to rain. Rain is coming.
He
later today, tonight, and tomorrow. Looks like we'll take it all next week, too. Looking like some wet stuff and cooler temperatures. We will take that here in mid-August. How was your first day of school, youngsters? I bet it wasn't as interesting as this. A Missouri father who was trying to take his kid to her first day of school spotted an alligator positioned right out in the front of their house. A guy named Mike Trin credits watching Steve Irwin as a child. He said he had to wrestle the alligator back into its pond so he could take his kid to school on the first day.
Crikey.
I didn't have to do that. I bet you didn't have to.
Are we sure this isn't Florida? This sounds like a Florida story.
Missouri. There could, you know, there's some, you know, Florida is where all the great stories come from. But no, this is Missouri. And I don't know if we have video of that. That would be good. He wrestled the alligator back into its pond. Now, he probably didn't have to deal with Austin school district traffic. Good night all over. Be careful out there with that this morning. Johnny Rogers is here. Yes, morning. Bucky's off today. And tomorrow, he's got some procedures that he's doing with the doctor. So, doctor's orders. Bucky will be back on Monday. Appreciate Johnny Rogers being here, one of the anchors of our Saturday morning live and local coverage. And, of course, a lot of insights. We're going to talk to Ari Temkin here coming up. He'll help us preview the number 7 team in our Horn Top 20 countdown, the Baylor Bears. But I said to you, because Johnny, you do real estate, commercial and residential real estate, downtown mostly or anywhere?
No, I do it pretty much just Central Austin.
Central Austin.
I try to stay in my lane, so to speak. And I've got a good general knowledge of Central Austin, Tarrytown, Westlake, downtown. I live downtown,
yeah,
so I just know that market better than most.
Well, and I said to you before the show that I just saw kind of a rendering that there are 8 new high-rises on either under construction or coming in the next year to 3 years, including the state of Texas's tallest tower, which is going to be all condos. Some, like, it's going to be taller than any.
It's a mixed use. It won't. There'll be multifamily apartments on top of office, on top of
retail.
So 8
more. I mean, we know the skyline has so dramatically changed in the last 10 years.
It's only what you see.
You said there's 20.
Oh, there's, yeah, at least 20 buildings within the works, 8 that you see right now. Anytime you see cranes in the air, guess what, Austin? That's a good thing. That means development's happening.
Don't tell these people that.
we're bringing, no, I get that. But, like, when you see development, okay, you know that your city is creating jobs, okay? And while the rest of the country might be going through a bit of a recession, even when you go back to 2008 to 2010, Austin real estate prices never dropped. They kind of hovered around the same.
Yeah.
You're not seeing it this time around. Pretty much across the board, you're seeing anywhere from a 10 to 20% drop from where we were at about 6 months ago.
Well, that's interesting. We'll learn more about that. But 20? I mean, I just saw the rendering of 8, and it's like it's all along the Rainy Street area and down the river, Lady Bird Lake. I mean, pretty cool. But, man, a lot coming.
Moving over to Rainy Street in a couple months.
You are. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, somebody said, I saw that story on the alligator and his dad. That was outside of Houston. I saw it on KPRC. It was Missouri City, Texas.
Oh.
Not Missouri.
Okay.
So this site I have here got that wrong. It was Missouri City, Texas, which I know where that is. Wrestling alligators to get off to the first day of school. Hey, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. Actually, let's hit the Horn Top 20 countdown first, then we'll go to the hotline. But let's let you know who is the number 7 team in our trip to number 1.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 7, the Baylor Bears.
You know, Johnny, it's that time when we play the fight songs. Got to get the fight songs going. The Baylor Bears are the defending Big 12 champions and most believe have the best lines of scrimmage in the Big 12, some of the best in college football with that offensive and defensive line combination. So with Dave Aranda, they'll be stout again this year. Of course, they had that tremendous goal line stand to hold off Oklahoma State and win the Big 12 title a year ago. Then they won the Sugar Bowl. Beat Ole Miss, so a lot of excitement in Waco, obviously. Let's go to the Vaqueros hotline now. He is a former colleague of ours, but now doing great work with the Cowboys Radio Network up there pre- and post-game for the NFL, but also SiriusXM's Big 12 Radio. He is one of the best, our buddy Ari Temkin. Ari, how are you?
I'm great. What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Yeah, Johnny Rogers in here with us and
morning,
Zay Collier, of course. But you talk Big 12 football and sports every day on SiriusXM and talk to the coaches and the who's who around the conference as we do. But you do it from a bigger, looking down of the whole conference level. What is what's the feel on Baylor? I mean, they lose Jalen Petrie, the stud at safety. They lose The outside receiver, Tyquan Thornton. They lose, the linebacker who was so darn good, Terrell Bernard. So many, skill players. But man, the meat of that team is back. What's your preview of Baylor in 2022?
Yeah, I must have missed it. E, where do you have them in your top 25?
Seven.
Yeah,
they're the highest rated Big 12 team in our countdown.
Which I think is right. I picked them preseason as the conference champions, and I did that simply because of what they brought back in their offensive and defensive lines. They certainly lose a ton. I mean, you mentioned it with Petrie, who's their defensive leader, just an absolute monster, in their defense. Terrell Bernard as well. You mentioned Tyquan Thornton. They lose their top two running backs. I mean, they lose a ton. They lose their other wide receiver as well, who entered the transfer portal. They lose a ton, but for me, it's the offensive and defensive lines, perhaps the best interior defensive lineman in the conference, Siaki Ika. And then the confidence that Dave Aranda showed in Blake Shapen to get out of front and name him the starter, 3 months ago. And it was, it was twofold. It was to allow the opportunity for a guy in Jerry Bohannon to transfer and get the opportunity to start elsewhere, which is now what's happened here at USF. I talked about this the other day, but Brian Kelly, Miles Brennan wanted to transfer, initially when Brian Kelly took the job at LSU. Brian Kelly talked him into staying, and he ended up being third in the depth chart and then quitting football. And Dave Aranda has a guy that he told us at media days that he still has a picture of Gary Bohannon and his kids in his house.
Yeah.
So just to show you the relationship difference between the two, and obviously it was allowed him to get out in front of the ability to transfer, but I thought the confidence that Aranda showed in Shapen, he's going to attack down the field a lot more than Bohannon was able to do consistently. I thought, Bohannon was perfect for what they wanted to do last year. They wanted to run the football, be more ball control, and play good defense, and Shapen, I think, it gives them a lot more of an opportunity to attack down the field offensively. I think it's going to be a different look team this year. I actually picked Blake Shapen as my offensive player of the year.
Wow.
In Big 12 this year too, because I'm betting big on Baylor. And again, it goes back to what they bring back in lines of scrimmage. If you took Baylor's offensive and defensive lines and combined them with Texas's skill position players, you'd have a national championship contender.
Yeah, they'd be up there. They'd be up there with what Alabama and Ohio State are bringing to the table. Because you're right, Ika, Siaki Ika on the defensive line is immovable. He transferred in from LSU, kind of followed Dave Aranda. Then they also got the transfer of the Tulsa defensive lineman Jackson Player, who was a kid out of Waco who went to Tulsa and just has emerged. They've also got another kid in on the defensive line who's Gabe Hall, who's a monster. I mean, they are so stout in the interior, which is how Dave Aranda builds defense, and then the offensive line, excellent. And I tend to agree with you. I think Blake Shapen, there's a reason that Dave Aranda made that call. He sees something. He's a baseball player. He's got that ability to throw from all platforms. And so a lot of skill talent to replace. But, man, when you start and end with those lines of scrimmage, they're going to be a tough nut each and every Saturday.
I mean, exactly. You can poke holes in every single one of these teams we talk about as a potential Big 12 champion.
Sure.
Baylor, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, those three in particular. Like, none of them are flawless football teams. I think that plays into, the parity in this league potentially this year and why maybe one of those three won't even end up winning the league because those are the three we expect. But again, there's just flaws in every single one of these teams. But, as we all know, when you are that good and that stout on both lines of scrimmage, like, that's the key. It's no secret what makes the SEC so good. I mean, look up and down the NFL draft. You've got SEC offensive and defensive linemen littered in that first round. I mean, that's the secret to why the SEC is so dominant in college football. It's as complex as a game as it is. It's a pretty simple game. If you win up front, you move the pile, you're gonna be winning. So that to me is what set me over the top in terms of Baylor and having confidence in Baylor. Look, they have a pretty difficult schedule when you factor in they have to travel to BYU and play a future Big 12 opponent in Provo and at BYU, which BYU should be a pretty good football team this year. They go at Iowa State, which is always a tough matchup, at West Virginia, which is always difficult in terms of a road trip for a Big 12 team because it's so far. And then at Oklahoma as well. So
and here in Austin,
And then in Austin, exactly, to end the season. So not the easiest schedule, certainly, and that could potentially be the reason that they, if they don't end up winning this conference, the schedule could play a factor in that too, because they do, I would think, of those three teams, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor have the toughest schedule.
Yeah, that was my, when I do the positives and negatives of the team, that was my biggest question mark and negative for Baylor, the schedule. Last year they played the favorable schedule with Texas and Oklahoma and Iowa State all in Waco, even West Virginia, and they won a lot of close ball games in those matchups and held on, of course, the goal line stand to win the Big 12 title. But this year they make the trip to Norman, they make the trip to Austin, they go to Morgantown and Ames. That becomes a big challenge for Dave
Aranda. And don't forget about Lubbock. Heading to Lubbock, yeah. Crazy things always happen in that city.
That's correct. I mean, tortillas will be flying, and Joey McGuire, who of course was at Baylor, has intimate knowledge of that program.
Go.
Lubbock will not be an easy trip and never is. Real quick, your thought on Dave Aranda. I know you've interviewed him multiple times, Ari, and he is, he's a different cat. He is a different coach, and he's cut from he's coming in talking about summer reading. He loves Brené Brown books and things of that nature. He's a real thoughtful person. But, man, he connects with his football team in his locker room. There's no doubt about that.
He does.
Yeah, you said it there. He's a different cat. There's just not many, not many football coaches like him, just not many people like him. He's extraordinarily introspective. It's one of the things I respect most about him. I think, most people, it's almost like it's not masculine to be introspective. Like, you can't look back on anything you've done in your life or your flaws and reflect on those. You always have to move forward and be thinking about the next thing. Just anytime you talk to him, it's just like you want to write down everything he says, because there's just so much gold that flows from him. And you're like, sometimes you're like, am I losing him? Yeah, I remember going to the season last year after he had such a bad season his first year, and I'm thinking, like, could it be possible that he's too smart for this? Like, is that the case? And obviously we found out after winning a Big 12 championship, that's not the case. I mean, a lot of coaches talk about, being a player-centric program. It's in the decisions he makes, the things that he does. He doesn't just tell you, he shows you that he's a that he leads a player-centric program. So I'm a huge, huge Dave Aranda fan. He had this quote at Big 12 Media Days. He said, when talking about after having, being a team that won two games one year and winning a conference championship the next year, now they have the target on their back. He said, what's the quote? He said, before enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood and carry water.
There you go.
So, he knows he needs to stick to the same things that got him to being a champion of the Big 12. And, I just have a ton of respect for him and think he's one of the best coaches in college football.
That's why they gave him that new big extension
big
to keep him there, because he was in demand this offseason and will be if he continues to win at Baylor. Hey, Ari, thanks. Appreciate it. I know you got a show to do coming up on SiriusXM, Big 12 Radio. Always appreciate the insights and the perspective. And you've picked Baylor to win that Big 12. And Blake Chapin is your offensive or player of the year in the Big 12. That's a high opinion of the Baylor Bears. Thank you, Ari.
Absolutely. Be well, E. Take care, Johnny.
Got it.
And I'll say this, Johnny. Watching preseason football last weekend, which, it's football, so it's on. So I'm going to watch it. They're like 57 hours of pro football.
Correct.
Got to give Matt Rhule some credit, too, because Matt Rhule recruited and evaluated his tail off. I mean, when I watch, I was watching the Bears and Treston Ebner, the running back, is scoring a touchdown. Then I look over there, Terrell Bernard is in Buffalo now. He scored a touchdown off a sack. Jalen Petrie is going to start for the Texans. Tyquan Thornton is pushing for a starting role with the New England Patriots. I mean, and those were all Matt Rhule. Yeah. Evaluations and recruits, and Dave Aranda helped develop those guys further. But, man, they had six Baylor Bears drafted into the National Football League last year, and there'll be more off of this team.
Hiring Matt Rhule really set that Baylor program up for success.
They did, and Dave Aranda's picked up on that and built on it.
No doubt.
Chopping that wood. So, Baylor, we'll go to Waco and talk to our buddy Craig Smoke coming up later on in the show. We'll focus on Baylor at number seven. We'll focus on the other top stories of the morning as well. We'll get into this Texas quarterback discussion. There's a report from ESPN that Steve Sarkisian told an ESPN reporter that he has an idea of who's going to be the starting quarterback. We'll try to pick into that conversation, read between the lines. Also, the great baseball last night. We're hitting it all. Johnny Rogers is here. Zay Collier is here. You are here. That's what makes it the show of the people on a Buck Off Thursday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you, Buck out the last couple days of the week doing some medical stuff. He'll be back on Monday. Johnny Rogers is here.
Morning.
You got bucked off on the text line, Johnny Rogers.
Yeah, haters going to hate.
Johnny, yeah, they're creating jobs with all these new high-rises, but you're also raising our cost of living. Who can afford to live here?
Thanks a lot, Biden.
No, thanks a lot. Let's not go political, but yes. Craig Flowers has weighed in. Colonel Craig from the High Ground. Of course, you guys are on with Casey Studdard.
Yep.
Big Ugly Tailgate from 8 to 10 every Saturday morning, followed by the High Ground with Colonel Flowers, Jamie Frazier, and the team. Coach Flowers, of course, jumped in with Love Me Some Dave Aranda. He's a leader of character who develops young men to win, as we talk about Baylor.
Yeah.
As the seventh-ranked team in our countdown. And our favorite to repeat as Big 12 champions. They've got a lot to replace, and that schedule is dicey with a lot of road trips.
A lot of road games.
They've got a lot of check marks, but their concerns, and yeah, as I think Ari put it right, Ari Temkin, you can poke holes in every one of these Big 12 teams. They all have issues, including the Longhorns, who now have injuries on top of a quarterback debate. We're going to talk Steve Sarkisian coming up in our coach's corner because apparently he has an idea of where he's going with quarterback. Other Buck-ons, Lakers signed LeBron James to a new two-year contract. Zay, is LeBron going to end up playing with his son Bronny? And I always, whenever I hear people say that, I wonder, is Bronny good enough to play in the NBA? I don't, I mean, is it certain? He's not.
No, he's not. He's only a four-star recruit, probably barely top 40 in the nation, which is saying a lot, barely top 40. He's still a really good player, and the University of Texas would love to have him. But
Are they in the mix?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the mix. Oregon's in the mix. Ohio State's in the mix. UCLA.
Yeah, LeBron sees dollar symbols.
Yes, just like the Mannings.
Yeah, he's not dumb.
I mean, it's a very similar situation. I mean, I don't know if Bronny is going to be that guy, but he's going to be a big-time recruit because of who he's going to bring along with him. People are going to want to play with Bronny, right?
Absolutely.
No question.
Well, that's
just like kids are going to want to play with Arch.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned the comparison to LeBronny James with Arch Manning. I think it is true. I think Steve Sarkisian, when he got the Texas job, knew the relationship he had with the Manning family already had built at Alabama, and he felt like he had a real good look at it. And, after he committed this summer, Arch Manning, to Texas, I was finally able to report that I had heard way back in January that the Mannings had bought a suite at the Moody Center. They were planning on being here for a few years and hanging out, and they were going to be going to concert.
It may have been AJ Capital, but yes, yeah. the Manning family is definitely invested in Austin.
The AJ Capital. There we go, Johnny Rogers. Yes, they were looking at the future, and maybe LeBron James is too. But, you know, people talk about LeBron's going to play until his son can play. I don't know if he ever makes the league, but, you know, it doesn't really matter because he's LeBron James' son, who's, you know, a mogul.
And there, I promise you, there will be an NBA team let's bring LeBron on, let's bring Bronny, let's bring the whole family down here and get things going.
Yeah, they won't win a lot of ball games, but it'll be a fun show.
No doubt.
So buck on or buck off to that, whichever side of it you're on. We also will replay coming up in the headlines. How about Brett Beatty last night? You know, one of the reasons we're expanding our flex coverage, our high school football and sports coverage here in Central Texas, you know, the example of Brett Beatty last night is exactly why. You know, we were on Brett. I got to see Brett play. I mean, my son Nolan works for Flex, and you'll hear him on the air from time to time. He's out there doing great work. He played at Hayes and we played Lake Travis when Brett Beatty was there, and we used to go out to the ball games. And I remember a game at Lake Travis where there had to have been 20 major league scouts there at the ball game. I mean, just radar
holding
guns
up
everywhere.
Because that
Lake Travis team was loaded. It wasn't just Brett. They had pitchers that could hit, you know, middle 90s and above, and ended up like a 2-0 game. It was a great ball game, but major league scouts everywhere. And Brett Beatty last night, we'll let you hear it coming up. But what a moment for a young kid. Second pitch he's ever seen in a big league game.
Incredible.
Two-run park hopper. See ya. Mom and dad are going crazy in the stands.
You can hear them cheering from Lake Travis.
That is awesome. And that's what it's all about. I mean, that's why we're dedicating so much energy and time to the high school ranks, because there's so many great young players here. And just like we identify great college players who are going to go on to the pros and then talk pros, I mean, these are the future. And so many good young people, good young stories, families.
I mean, you even look at the Indianapolis Colts quarterback room. You got two kids from Westlake in there, Nick Foles and Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, and Sammy played good last week.
Yeah,
and,
he did.
You know, backup of Matt Ryan, and Nick Foles is there too. We got a lot to get into. Johnny Rogers is here. We'll pick his brain on, of course, he's got two brothers coaching in the National Football League. And I want to ask you which one you think team is more primed to win a Super Bowl this year, right? I think I know. I want to know your thought, J.R.
Okay. We'll see.
Also, episode two of the season of Hard Knocks. Pretty good last night with the Detroit Lions. We'll have some highlights from that. And plenty of Texas football. Steve Sarkisian apparently nearing a decision on the quarterback. We'll debate coming up. B&E on a Buck Off Thursday, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.